Well, good morning, everyone. Checking 1, 2, I'm on, awesome. Before I forget, I just want to acknowledge Bernie Coop. He's sitting over there. He had a heart, was it a heart attack? No, you didn't have a heart attack. You had some heart issues, and you had some heart surgery of put stents or stints, whatever you call it, in your heart. And what's the actual, is it stents or stints? Stents. Bernie had some stents put in his heart, and anyways, we're just so glad you're here, Bernie. Bernie was here last week, and I just want to acknowledge your presence here again today, and glad you're back. Also want to let you know that we have a new person in our church family, Jocelyn Anastasia Sutcliffe, born last night. Yeah. I don't imagine they're here today. I don't see them, and I don't expect them to be here. But last night, October the 10th at 9:01 p.m., weighing 8 pounds and 4 ounces. So make sure when you see the Sutcliffes again that you congratulate them on this, on their fourth child. It was last week that, in case you don't know, this was the family that was up who were dedicating their children. And we had mentioned that they have one in the oven. Well, this one came out, so we're happy for them. As well, was just asked to share a brief announcement about care groups. I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago that we want to have a care group for those maybe seniors or retirees who would prefer to have a care group during the day. And so we want to continue along with those plans. Dan Wolf is going to be co-leading that group with Randy Heinrichs. And if you could please sign up on the sign-up sheet in the foyer after the service, if you're interested in that, that'd be great. And I'm sure one of them will get back to you with more details to come. Well, we are today continuing on in our series, The Super God-Man. And we've learned a lot of things about Jesus over the past few weeks. And I just want to share with you a few things that we've learned. I won't go through the entire list, or else we'll be here for, you know, all day. But I just want to summarize just a few things that we've learned about Jesus so far. First of all, we've learned that Jesus, in this series, has claimed to be God. Yes, that's true. He's claimed to be God, and he did that by claiming to be able to forgive sins. We also see that Jesus has power and authority over the spiritual realm, the demonic realm, and he's proven that by casting out demons. And I'm so glad that I'm on the team with the man who is in charge of the spirit world. There's no one greater, there's no one higher than Jesus. We also see that Jesus has power and authority over sickness, disease, ailments, and he proves it by basically healing every and any kind of ailment, disease, and sickness that he comes across. We also see that large crowds of people are flocking towards him, and others are dropping everything, leaving everything behind to become his disciples. And again, this points to the fact that Jesus is a very, very special and unique person, that people are willing to do that. And in all of human history, I believe there is no man who even comes close to comparing to Jesus, whom we are referring to in this series as the Super God-Man. And so today we continue on in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is primarily made up of Jesus' teachings, some of his parables. And then he closes off this chapter in such a way with a particular miracle that leaves his disciples both understandably terrified and amazed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are unlike anyone who has ever walked the planet in all of human history. You are the God-man in whom we put our trust. Lord, may our hearts and minds be attentive to what you want to teach us in your word today. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So this Mark chapter 4, this passage starts off with a parable. And I think it's the perfect passage for us to deal with today. If you recall, last week, or in case you weren't here, we had 6 people get baptized. We had a bunch of new members. We had some people get dedicated, which was awesome. In fact, after the service, I had the opportunity a few hours later to lead someone to the Lord, which was just phenomenal. And so I was on cloud number 9 last week. It was great. Yeah. Now, on the one hand, these things are just incredibly super exciting. But then there's a reminder in this passage in particular where Jesus is talking about seed that's sown on different paths. And these things are exciting to see, but on the other hand, we have to pray that those who have made public commitments or any commitment of any kind, that their roots are growing down deep into Christ, and especially that there's a desire for people to continue to walk with God through thick and thin, and for forever, really. So you'll come to understand what I'm talking about when I just go ahead and jump into this passage and start reading it. And so, as a symbol of our respect and appreciation for God's word, let's just please stand while I read the first passage, at least. I'm going to start at verse 1 in Mark chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." And then Jesus says something strange here, which we're going to get to in a second. I'm going to explain what he's talking about here. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And then he turns on to explaining the parable. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." You may be seated. Now, before we jump into the meaning of this parable where Jesus interprets it for his disciples, I think it's important to acknowledge this section where Jesus is talking about something in the middle, where Jesus is talking about outsiders and how they're blind and how they're deaf and how they don't understand and how they're going to be unforgiven. What's this all about? What's he talking about? Well, remember, we're in chapter 4, and the previous chapter in chapter 3 had a lot going on in there. And that was a chapter where the religious leaders had rejected Jesus. And Jesus, I think, is referring to them as a spiritually blind and deaf. They aren't getting it. These guys are the outsiders. If they would only follow Jesus, they would come to understand his teaching, and then they could be forgiven and made right with God. In verse 12, Jesus, when he's talking about the blind and the deaf, he's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. I want to read that for you. It says, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And so just as God brought judgment to the Israelites during the time of Isaiah because of their hard hearts, he's now going to deal with the Pharisees and those who reject Jesus in a similar way in Jesus' time. And so the secret is given to the disciples because they're open to Jesus. They want to follow him. But the outsiders, the Pharisees, and even those among his family, they don't understand because they don't want to follow Jesus. And so they're given parables. And so Jesus teaches in parables. You notice many times, even in this chapter, he's going to teach multiple parables. And some might appear to be a little bit confusing. But for those who want to follow Jesus and embrace him, they're going to come to the point where eventually they get it. In other words, who have hard hearts towards Jesus, they're not going to understand the truth that these parables are speaking about. So let's now jump into the parable of, or the explanation of this parable. First, I think it's important to ask just a couple questions about this parable. First of all, who is the farmer in this parable? Well, the farmer in this parable is really Jesus, who's sowing, he's spreading the good news. And I think Jesus, he extends it to anybody who shares the good news, really. As long as the word is being spread, it's kind of like you're scattering seeds. Who or what are the different types of seeds? Well, I think they represent the different type of people, and there are different responses to Jesus. And so in this parable, there's four different types of seeds, which Jesus is summarizing as maybe four different responses to Jesus and to his message. So let's talk about each type of seed or each type of response. The first seed the first type of seed is in verse 15. Let me go back and read that for you. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word, takes away the word that was sown in them. And so the first type of seed gets thrown along the path. It doesn't take root, it doesn't grow, it's pretty much useless. And Jesus explains that Satan is somehow involved in taking the seed away. Well, how does that work? Well, this is the kind of person you share Jesus with. This person, you share some truth about Jesus, and this person is just so hard-hearted that they just simply reject Jesus. Jesus, in fact, you may recall that Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is actually against me." And so for those who reject Jesus, they're actually under the influence of the evil one, and they will never produce fruit for God's kingdom. You know, as a side note, I want to say this. We had an exciting service last week, as chaotic as it was. But we need to remember that we live in a world where spiritual warfare is a reality. Satan is real. He's alive. He's on the prowl. He's on the attack. And, you know, I'm sure after witnessing what we witnessed last week, people getting baptized and making public decisions to follow Jesus, I'm sure Satan would love to attack this church, and probably already is. He would love to attack families, your family. He would love to attack our marriages in the church. And so we need to make sure that we are holding up each other in prayer, because he's alive and well, and he's on the attack. I also want to say this. This is not in my notes, but I was reflecting on this today, actually, before I came up. And I think this passage is referring specifically to someone who outright rejects Jesus. Their hearts are hard. They're not going to bear any fruit. But I just want to say this as well. You know, sometimes we can be Christians, we can receive Jesus, but then later on in life, sometimes we can develop a calloused or hard heart. Sometimes there's things in our life, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, where God's trying to work in an area of your life, but you're not surrendering it, and you're being stubborn and disobedient. And so maybe God, I don't know, is working in your life right now. Maybe there's something in your life that you're struggling with, and you know you need to give it up to God. It's so important that as believers, when we give our life to Christ, that we surrender 100% of our hearts to him, and that we're always soft and sensitive to what the Lord wants to do in our life. And I think if we hold back, then we hinder God's spirit and work in our lives. Okay, getting back on track. The second type of seed is referenced in verse 16 and 17. Let me read that. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. You may know the type. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. And so this seed is sown in rocky places. This person receives Jesus with excitement, but their roots don't grow down deep into Jesus. And the scripture specifically says they fall away. And so it begs the question, was the original decision to follow Jesus genuine in the first place? I don't know. Again, one of the most exciting things for me in ministry as a pastor, I'm over the moon when I have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, or when I have the opportunity to baptize someone. That's awesome. It's great. I love it. It makes my day, makes my week, makes my month. However, in those moments, I'm not sure if I'm using the right words here, but I also have a sense of concern, or sometimes I can be anxious for those individuals. Because, you know, there's questions that come in my mind. You know, will this person have the same joy and passion and excitement next week? Will they even be in church next week? Are they making meaningful connections with other mature believers in the church? How are they going to be discipled? How are they going to grow in their walk with Jesus so that they are in it for the rest of eternity? You know, one of the questions that I ask, I like to ask questions. You don't have to do that when you baptize people, but I like to ask questions when I baptize people. And the last question that I like to ask baptismal candidates is this. Is it your intention to follow Jesus for all the rest of your days? And the reason I ask that is to communicate to the baptismal candidate, but also to the rest of the church and those who are considering baptism for the future, that when I make this decision to follow Jesus, it's forever. It's not just for a season. It's not temporary. It's for the rest of my life, and not until I die, because when you die, you actually get to go be with Jesus. Your decision is an eternal one. Is it your intention to follow Jesus for all the rest of your days? And I hope our commitment is more than just a decision we make in a moment or for a season. So I want to say, before I move on to the next one, be sure to pray for our new believers, those who are in our midst, and also on top of that, if the Lord puts something practical in your heart to do when it comes to supporting or discipling these new believers, consider doing those things. Next, we move on to the third seed. So we're making progress. The first seed didn't take root. Nothing happened. The second seed took root, but it didn't go down deep. The third type of seed, we have progress. The roots go down deep, and we actually see the plant growing. But something happens. So let me read this for you. Verses 18 and 19. It says, still like seed sown among thorns, still others like seed sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So the third type of seed is sown among thorns. It takes root and grows, but it gets preoccupied with other things, and it becomes unfruitful. What are these thorns? Basically, I think it's absolutely anything in life that distracts you from the kingdom of God. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think this is the kind of seed or response that our culture right now is struggling with. Specifically right now in North America and Canada and our community, we're a very wealthy community. We have lots of distractions in life. You know, families are busy with all sorts of things going on in their lives. And sometimes, you know, church takes a back seat. The kingdom of God takes a back seat. You know, some may feel they have to make a few extra bucks, so I don't know, they work on Sundays, or maybe they, maybe not necessarily Sundays, but they work on days that take them out of fellowship with believers. For others, maybe it's sports or recreational activities that take priority. For others, I don't know, they might start volunteering less because they want to vacation more. Distractions that choke out believers being fruitful. Like I said, church, I think this third seed represents where our culture is at right now. And so let's not get caught up in the thorns and become unfruitful for God. You know, I was encouraged that this past week, and I think this is something we could all learn from. There was a young boy who was told, you have the choice to go to hockey, to go to a hockey tournament this weekend, or you can go to church. And this young boy chose church. Fourth seed. The fourth type of seed are those planted in good soil. Verse 20. They hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And so, unlike those who are hard, they're hard-hearted towards God, unlike those who are shallow, or unlike those who are distracted, these are the kind of people who hear the word of God, they accept it, they embrace it, they obey it, they remain soft-hearted, tender-hearted towards God, and they make it a reality in their lives, and they bear fruit. And so I want to ask you, we've just talked briefly about four different types of seed, and as we consider these different types of seed, which one are you? I hope that we are not like the first three seeds, where we're either hard-hearted to what God wants to do in our life, where we're shallow, where our roots are not growing down deep into Christ, or that we're distracted by the cares of this life. I hope we're all like seed number 4, where we embrace God's word for our lives, we accept it, and we obey it. May we be a people who bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And then Jesus, he continues on and shares with us 3 really brief parables. Again, when you kind of first read them, you might be a little bit confused as to what they mean, but they all kind of have a similar theme going on here. Basically, Jesus is speaking about himself in all these parables and about the kingdom of God and how it's somewhat hidden, but one day it's just going to explode with great excitement. And so we're going to start with verse 21, the first being about a lamp on a stand. Verse 21 and following, it says, "He said to them, 'Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear,' he continued. 'With the measure you use, it'll be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them.'" And so in this parable, the lamp represents Jesus and the message of the kingdom, and it won't remain hidden forever. Jesus is trying to be somewhat low-key in his ministry right now, but one day this lamp is going to just shine for the entire world to see. And the measure in which you respond to Jesus will be the measure of truth you learn about Jesus. In other words, the more open you are to Jesus, the more spiritual insight you're going to receive, and the opposite is also true as well. The next parable is similar. It's the parable of a growing seed. It says this, and he also said, verse 26, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." And so what's Jesus saying in this parable? Again, in a similar way, he's saying that although the kingdom of God may be hidden right now or simple, it's going to grow. It's going to come to fruition. And then he talks about the parable of the mustard seed, which is a very popular parable. Again, he said, verse 30, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shade. Now, I've got a few pictures here for you on the screen behind me, and Tony will pull it up here for a second. We have a small mustard seed, and then we have a mustard tree. Now, I'm not sure if I'm not a farmer or a tree expert. I'm not sure if that's the specific seed that grows into that specific tree. But the point is that something incredibly small grows into something really big. And so, and that's the point here, that the kingdom of God is going to grow like this mustard seed. Now, you should know what mustard seed, mustard trees, mustard plants, bushes, whatever, that not only do mustard seeds and bushes grow from something so small, but apparently once you let seeds fall and germinate, they germinate right away, and they spread like crazy. And apparently once you have these seeds spreading and germinating in a field, it's almost impossible to get rid of these plants. And so Jesus is saying in a similar way, this is how the kingdom of God is going to grow. With one small, tiny, tiny seed, it's going to grow into this big, massive tree, and then it's just going to spread like crazy. And he's giving us warning. He's letting us know what the kingdom of God is up to. And then he says in verse 33 and following, "With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything." Again, we're reminded here that Jesus uses parables in his teaching. And again, those whose hearts are open and receptive to Jesus will come to understand what he's saying, while others who are closed to him, who reject him, are going to have a much more difficult time understanding what he's saying. And then the passage closes with a really, really, really cool story. I can't imagine what it would have been like if I was there with Jesus during this storm. I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you, verse 35 and following. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been on that boat? That would have been crazy. Forget Wonderland and roller coaster rides. That would have been great. First off, I'm just so amazed, first of all, that Jesus, in the middle of this storm, he's sleeping. Notice the storm was so intense that the disciples thought they were going to drown as their water was pouring into the boat. And again, we're reminded, we know that these guys are fishermen. They've seen all sorts of weather. They probably wouldn't have been too bothered with a few waves here and there. But these guys were afraid. These guys thought they were going to drown. And Jesus is just, he's having a snooze. He's having a Thanksgiving nap, right, Josh? You know, maybe he had too much turkey to eat that day. I don't know. I don't know. I guess storms don't stress Jesus out that much. Yeah. So let me ask you this. When you're in a storm in your life, when you're in a challenging time in your life, is your response like Jesus? You have this peaceful trust in God. Or are you like the disciples? You are frantic and you are stressed out of your mind. What's your response when you face storms in your life? Anyways, and then Jesus casually does something miraculous. He gets up, he just says a few words, stands, says a few words, he tells the wind and waves to be quiet, and they actually obey him. that's just amazing. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never seen anyone have that kind of control over the weather before. And I imagine they never did based on their reaction. It's just amazing. And you can imagine that they were just both terrified and amazed. My goodness, this man that we've been walking with, yeah, he's been quite special, but he's on another level. Something is up with this man, and I can't believe that I'm standing in his presence right now. Now, of course, we now have discovered that the God-man, Jesus, has authority over the forces of nature. So I've already talked about all the other accomplishments that the super God-man has done, but now add this to his resume. He can control the wind and the waves and nature. And now this shouldn't surprise us. If you've ever read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 17, which I'm going to go ahead and read for you right now, it says this. It says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus has created all things. And if Jesus has created all things, it should be no surprise that the creator of nature can control nature. Pretty cool. And so this passage closes with them asking the question, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, us as the readers, we know what Mark is getting to, and we know him as the God-man, or as I'm referring to him in this series, the super God-man. And so I want to close off the service by inviting the worship team to come back and the prayer teams to set themselves up. And, I just want to ask a few questions. You know, are you in the middle of a storm right now? Maybe a relationship needs mending. Maybe there are some health issues you're struggling with. Maybe there's some kind of a crisis or some form of hardship you're dealing with right now. And maybe you have the reaction like the disciples. You're just frantic with whatever you're going through. I want to say that God wants to meet with you where you're at. He wants to give you the peace that Jesus had through the storm that they were going through. And God wants to work with you, and you're welcome to come forward and meet him and receive prayer over that. Is your heart open and receptive to follow Jesus? Maybe there's someone here, you're kind of here because, I don't know, a family member drags you out, a friend drags you out. But you know that your heart is hard towards God. You haven't officially received him as your Savior. You haven't chosen to follow him yet. And I want to plead with you, don't have a hard heart like we talked about in the first parable with the seed that was thrown along the path. You just become fruitless for God. I want to invite you to make a decision today to follow Jesus once and for all. And again, I want to invite you to come forward and meet with someone on the prayer team after the service if you'd like to make that decision. And anyone else who has a prayer need, you're welcome to come forward as well. Let me pray. Jesus, you are Lord of all creation. And we thank you, Lord, in this passage we learn that you have authority over so many things, but we've also learned now you have control over nature and its forces. Thank you for having authority over all things, Lord. Lord, thank you that we can put our trust in you in the midst of life's storms, whatever they are. There's no storm in this life, in our lives, that are too difficult for you to manage. Or too difficult for you to help us walk us through. We just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.